Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our play-by-play call today. Okay, quick show of hands. How many of you knew Derrick Rose was still in the NBA? Well, last night...
Second
with
free throw by Rose. He got it! He's got a career-high 50! 50 points for Derrick Rose. 128-125, the Wolves lead by three with 13.8 seconds left.
50 points. And the T-Wolves needed all 50 to beat Utah last night. Good for Derrick Rose. Been a long time, a lot of injuries. That's our play-by-play call of the day. All right. You know how much I enjoyed talking sports. You know how much I don't really enjoy talking about all the other stuff. I mean, the business of sports I like talking about, because I think there's a lot of intrigue there. But when it comes to, you know, let's face it, tough stuff, I don't think anybody enjoys talking about that. But Roman Stubbs of the Washington Post and I are going to have that conversation. Roman, thanks so much. Appreciate your time very much for doing this.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. Sorry it has to be under the circumstances. We'd rather just talk about sports, but that's not the case here. Let's go in two parts. How surprised were you that DJ Durkin was reinstated? Then how surprised were you that the reinstatement lasted 24 hours?
Well, I think everybody was stunned on Tuesday night when he was reinstated. You know, we had heard for so long that there just was no feasible and realistic chance that DJ Durkin could come back and coach again in the wake of Jordan McNair's death, in the wake of all those allegations of abuse into the program. It just was, after reading the report and seeing all the damning details, it just was so remarkable that the board decided to try to bring him back. I think ultimately, they really underestimated what the public response was going to be, I think on that end, it wasn't surprising that they had to do a reversal yet last night. Maybe in the manner in which they did it, how quickly they did it, that was the surprising part. But it didn't seem like it was going to be able to work. You know, when he came back onto campus on Tuesday night, it just was so stunning to see him walking around, and you just wondered, how is the kids going to respond? How are the staff going to respond? How is he going to be able to recruit? So many questions. And on that end, I don't think it was surprising that this was the decision.
All right, so now let's get to the part about the credibility in front of your team. What do you know about the team meeting he had with them, and what do you know about Tuesday's practice where there's an alleged incident between a pro-Durkin player and an anti-Durkin player?
Yeah, well, we know that several players walked out of that that meeting that he had with the team. I was told that it was an awkward meeting, that so many assistants were upset by the decision. You know, this has been actually a pretty remarkable season for Maryland. They have 5 wins. And we consider all of the distractions, all of the controversy. To be on the cusp of bowl eligibility is really impressive. This is a team that has really, I think, been galvanized and come together to play for each other. They bought into Matt Canada, who's more laid back, who's won over that locker room. So when Durkin came back, yeah, he didn't say a lot, apparently, at practice on Tuesday night. He kind of was just an observer. Players came up and greeted him, but for the most part, it kind of spoke to just how fractured that locker room was. You know, it was just bizarre seeing him walk out of practice afterwards. You know, you had security personnel trying to block reporters from asking questions after the board had promised more transparency. It was a stunning scene, and it didn't seem like it was realistic that it was going to be able to work, and obviously that led to the decision last night.
How does it work at Maryland? Was the president the only one that could actually fire him? The board could not fire him? Is that accurate or not?
Right. So, yeah, the Board of Regents only had the power to act on President Wallace Lowe. Wallace Lowe would then have the power to fire or retain DJ Durkin and Damon Evans. And I think it just speaks to how political this whole thing was, all these agendas. The bottom line is the Board of Regents recommended that Lowe keep DJ Durkin. Lowe came back and acted alone last night and fired him. You know, that it just shows how politically charged this thing has been. It's quite remarkable and quite stunning for sure.
All right. Lowe is going to step down June 30th of next year at the end of the fiscal year. Knowing that he had that in his back pocket, did it make him, in your opinion, more empowered to make a decision like this?
Well, we've been told and we've reported that Lowe had been strong-armed by the Regents, that their number one priority was bringing back DJ Durkin. They told him that if he wanted to retain his post, that he had to bring back Durkin. So Lowe was basically handcuffed when he met with the Regents earlier this week, and he made the decision to endorse that call by the Regents. Bottom line is that you know, when he got up there and spoke on Monday night, he did not reference DJ Durkin. You could tell that there was friction there. You could tell that this wasn't the decision that he had preferred. He was backed into a position where he had to announce his own retirement. It's going to be really fascinating to see what happens with Wallace Lowe, whether the Regents will act on him now. But we're going to see a kind of a souped-up political situation for sure in the coming days.
All right. What has allowed Matt Canada to do the job he's done? Now, remember, I want everyone to remember that last year Maryland opened the season at Texas, put together a great offensive show because they had their quarterback, not just quarterback, but quarterbacks in the top two spot. What has having them back meant, but what has also Matt Canada's touch with this team meant?
Yeah, I think it just speaks to we've heard a lot about his personality. You know, Durkin had a very specific way of doing things. He had these notoriously long meetings, long days, brutal, kind of just brutal days in the building. Canada's kind of taken a different approach. They're out of there by early evening. That doesn't mean they don't work hard, but he kind of has a more laid-back approach. He's a likable guy. He is a creative offensive mind. They've had their struggles, but he's been able to, you know, take the talent that DJ Durkin assembled and be able to win with it. But moreover, I think that he's really brought the team together and really kind of galvanized this team behind the message that they're playing for each other now. I think a lot of the consensus has been that in this whole saga that not only is the death of Jordan McNair been forgotten, but also the kids have been forgotten, the coaches have been forgotten. It's become all about the politics of the situation, and I think he's really used that to his advantage and preached that these kids have to stay together and they have to be a tight-knit group, and I think they've played like that. They play hard. They're physical. They're you know, they're a team that's been able to put up good numbers, and you know, they're one win away from bowl eligibility. So it's been interesting for sure.
Roman, in your opinion, is now Matt Canada auditioning for the job full time, or do you sense that they're going to go completely outside and start over?
You know, that's incredibly difficult to gauge at right now. You know, less than 24 hours after Durkin was gone. But, you know, I get the sense that, you know, he is the kind of guy that could lead this program. I don't know if he's auditioning right now. You know, we'll have to see what happens with the power structure. Obviously, if something else happens with the president and the athletic director, this could be a whole new clean slate that's brought in, and they could decide to just clean house entirely. But I think he's a viable candidate, in my opinion. I think he's a guy who would do things differently than Durkin, and I think his players believe in him. So I think he'd certainly have a case if he'd want to stay here, for sure.
All right, Roman, the game with Michigan State coming up, in some ways, does this team need to play the game because of the sense of normalcy of playing a game?
Yeah, I think you could say that. I think we saw that in the season opener against Texas, that being able to use the game as a distraction almost. But at the end of the day, football is just football, and I
right.
think people are realizing that this thing has been so sad and it's so politicized that I think at the end of the day we're forgetting, a lot of people have forgotten about the kids, about the coaches, about the people who are actually in the program, and I'm sure they'll be fired up to play on Saturday.
Yeah, because my point about the question is this. It's tough for anybody to answer all the questions that are thrown at them about the death of a teammate, the death of a friend, a guy that's in their locker room. Nobody knows about the coach. But they're trying to do this under the guise of being 18 to 23-year-olds as well, which I think makes it even more difficult. How well have the players actually handled this? Because, as you said, there have been times where they've been shoved to the back of the line.
Yeah, I think they've handled it really well. There's been some fractures. Obviously, there's been people who have supported Durkin. There's been people who have come out against Durkin. But all is told, I think this season could have really went south quickly on them. We haven't seen a lot of departures in terms of transfers. We haven't seen recruits leave. We haven't seen that much turmoil in terms of the inner workings of the team. So on that end, I think the kids have responded really well. And I would say it was impressive last night to see so many kids speak up against, speak out against the decision against Durkin, for Durkin. I don't think it's the consensus, but I think a lot of kids had the courage to say, that he needed to be held accountable and that what the regions wouldn't do, they wanted to speak out against. I think that speaks to the character of some of the kids on the team. It's been, like I said, pretty interesting to watch play out.
Finally, Roman, how precarious is Maryland's position within the state right now with recruiting and things like that? I mean, there are far more important things, right? So I know that. But at some point, though, you do have to ask some football questions because they have to. This is day one of moving forward from what's been going on. Where do they stand with people? How in terms of the ability to go into a living room and say, "Hey, look, this is the place you ought to go, and this is why."
Yeah, well, basically the recruiting operations have been very silent over the last 2 months. I think they have 10 kids committed in their class. We're 2 months out from signing day. That was one of the big questions with Durkin coming back, is how is he ever going to be able to go into a living room and look apparently the eye again and be able to tell them that he's going to take care of their son. That made it all the more baffling that the Board of Regents had made the decision that they did. But at the end of the day, I think that's going to be a really big question for the next coaching staff. I think a lot of just talking to high school coaches around here in this area, that there's a lot of uncertainty with them telling their kids they should go to Maryland because they don't know who the coach is going to be. So,
right.
Like I said, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's obviously the factor of negative recruiting. Schools will use this against Maryland. So they're going to have to buckle up and be prepared for a long rebuilding process. And I guess it starts today.
Next time we talk, by the way, it'll probably be the week of the Maryland game. We'll talk just football, okay?
Okay.
that's where I know I'm more comfortable.
Yeah.
Roman, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for taking all the time you did with us. We appreciate it so much.
Yep. Have a good day.
Roman Stubbs, Washington Post. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
All right, great to have you with us on the show. Nothing like watching the suit dance to that when he doesn't realize anybody's watching. Ah, boy.
I'll make sure that's off the playlist for December 5th.
There'll be a game that night. Yeah. December 5th, yeah. Yeah.
Next month already. Wow.
Yeah, about that.
I know.
Yeah, it's less than 5 weeks away till party time. Hopefully it's a big room. All right, so... the other key is make sure we have a lot of people at our table. I'm sorry, there's no room at the inn.
We were able to accomplish that last year, so no problem. That should not be an issue.
Here, let me just barge right in. Here, let me just squeeze in. Everybody, let's go to a different table.
Oh, my God, an alert on my iWatch.
Here, allow me to sit down. Got to go to the bathroom. All right. The Maryland situation is, again, what was the easy decision to make? The easy decision to make was to remove DJ Durkin. Now, was there enough in that report to sit back and say, okay, we're going to do, quote, the right thing. We don't think he did anything really wrong here, so we're going to keep him. But then, as I said yesterday, that brings back with it, you know, the difficult decision, because now it's going to bring baggage with the difficult decision. Well, they didn't make the easy decision. Then suddenly, less than 24 hours later, a different decision is made. He's out. Now, what does that solve? Well, what it does solve is it removes a problem. And they continue the season. What this means long term, I have no idea.
It also brings up another question. Now, you know, that they make this bold move 48 hours ago, but then last night, DJ Durkin gone. Now it brings up this question: how long will Athletic Director Damon Evans stay?
Well, that's another one. But see, if he stays, then he has to make a decision on Matt Canada. If he goes, I think the decision on Matt Canada becomes different, because a new athletic director is going to come in there and want to just start fresh. I don't know. They only have 10 verbal commitments. There's been no recruiting activity for 2 months. And I don't know. This is... It's an awful situation, and you feel like months later it's not much better.
And this was something you and I were kicking around during the break. If there are other college coaches out there that would love to add Maryland to their resume, you would think, just with all that volatility going on out there, that they would wait until a new AD was in place. And if they're thinking, okay, yeah, Damon Emmons is going to stay, and I come in and get hired, who's to say I'm not going to last long here either?
All right. It's a mess. But it may be an absolute mess, but the McNair family will never get their son back. All right. The King is back in Studio 22 today.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Dick Girardi, John Bacon on tomorrow's show. And Aaron Morrison from MLive.com on the show tomorrow. Another interesting day. And now, we believe he's in Studio 22. Safely back home.
Actually, we do have some breaking news. The king is not in Studio 22.
Oh.
Yeah. Tell him, King.
I'm in Studio C517. Actually, the Conklin building at Hartford Hospital.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I've been in the hospital all week. I was sick at your, remember Saturday night when we got back from the house? I said, yeah. I really got to go. Yeah, I really had to go. There was something wrong. And I was, so I thought it was about the blood clot in my leg.
You know, right, yeah, which you showed me that Saturday morning.
I was getting dizzy. I was like, man, there's something wrong here. I got to. And then I slept Sunday 11. From the time I got home till, I mean, I just told John, I went down and got Subway so she wouldn't have to cook, and I almost passed out in the place. And then I got home and I handed her the sandwiches and I said, I'm going to bed. And she said, you're not going to eat? I said, no. She said, she knew. Wow. He's in trouble now. He's not eating. So.
Right.
And Monday, I couldn't make it through 2 hours of work. And then my leg from my ankle to my butt turned beet red.
Ooh. Like, and this is the bad leg.
Yeah, the bad leg. So,
right.
And Tuesday morning it was worse, so I said, let's go. Well, my primary care physician said, just go right to the emergency room, and they admitted me that immediately. So I got now, cellulitis or some type of bacteria in me.
Cellulitis, yeah.
Yeah.
Has the swelling in the leg gone down?
Yeah. Yeah. The redness is still there. Not but only in my calf, and it goes down when I elevate it.
Okay.
I mean, almost completely gone. when I elevate it. So they've had me on intravenous all week, and now tonight is going to change me to a pill. And if everything works out tomorrow, I can go home. So, anyway, what you been up to?
What have I been up to?
Thanks for your hospitality. You know what caused it? I'm telling you what caused it. The 15 cookies I ate.
Okay.
I thought he was going to say the pickles. I was like, no, it can't be the pickles.
No, the pickles probably help. No, it was coming on a week before that. There was something going on. I knew something. You know how you just, I just felt tired all the time. So something's been brewing inside.
Oh, you don't feel like you, and only you know something's going on. That happens sometimes.
Right. Yeah. And everyone's gone through that. You know, you're like, I just don't feel oomph. I got no oomph, you know. And then the oomph did me in. So, anyway, one of the doctors said it could have been what are those little mites called? Dirt mites or dust mites. That's it. Come on, man. So were you telling me all these little bugs are crawling all over me? You're freaking me out now. No, it's healed, and I reacted to the antibiotic, so no harm, no foul. And the good news is they did a ultrasound, and my blood clot is getting better. It's much smaller than the last ultrasound. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the blood clot except it attacked my weaker joint that didn't get the blood flow. But the blood clot is getting smaller, which is good news. You got to take the good out of everything. So, whatever. So, off to bigger and better things. Sean, you're just kicking butt in this thing, man. We go 5-1, you go 6-0.
Yeah.
Kev, you went 5-1. You had a great week.
Yeah, but you went second.
I'm just following your credo. King, I'm just following your credo. You're just taking the good with the, you know.
Yeah. The good news, you went 5-1. The bad news, I went 6-0. You're now 11 games back. Wow. I got to pull a Yankee over the Red Sox. Hey, did you hear about the Red Sox fans throwing beer cans, full beer cans, on the tugboat?
They did, and I guess they arrested the guy that did it.
Oh, there's more than one guy.
Right. Well, the one guy, he says, I really like Alex Cora. I'm so stupid.
I mean, what are you thinking? Like, here, be my buddy. I'll throw you a beer, you know?
I know I'm happy when I burn couches and turn over cars. That's when I show my joy. So it's always been nice.
Do that, right?
That's my standard operating procedure. Or I throw objects at people. I'm happy.
Oh, that was you at Arts Fest. That was you. Okay, yes. Now we know the rest of the story.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Man, you should have saved that for the after show.
Yeah. Yeah.
What cracks me up is I listen to the Boston stations all the time, and they always talk about how great their fans are, and they don't do crazy things like that. I'm like, oh my God, a girl got shot at one of your things. You know?
Yeah, exactly, 2004.
Yeah. So you heard about that guy. I think of the Patriots are playing the Cincinnati Bengals, and there was like 5 Bengal fans sitting like 4 rows behind them. I mean, below him.
Yeah.
And he did you know what on them. He peed on them.
Yeah.
He's a Patriot fan. The fans are fans, and you can't label them all because of one jerk, but...
Yeah, but you know what?
The
problem is, let's face it, is how inebriated some of these people are when they do these stupid things.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So. And the parks have tried to do what they can do to control it by raising the price really high, you know.
Yeah.
Why should the ones who want to enjoy a beer be penalized?
Right.
There's
always that
5%.
There's always that 5% that ruined it for the other 95% everywhere.
Yeah. Because for the most part, it looked pretty
Yeah, just, you know, yeah, everybody having a good time.
Yeah, just, I read that this morning. I've been kind of out of it for a couple of days. I was like, well, they're throwing full beer cans at the duck boats.
Yeah.
Who raised you?
I know.
A monkey?
I know when I'm happy, I like to burn couches and turn over cars. All right. So that's how I personally express joy. Oh, I know, you know, and I'm strong.
Oh, cool. Well, hey, we got some good picks this week.
Yeah, we got some
good
games.
We
got
to thank Corey, man, again, for, man, everybody loves the pickles we brought back here. So
yeah.
He's now becoming a Connecticut folk hero. So that's at least for my small group of people. And then I passed out and died and left. Here's your pickles. I've got to go to the hospital by now.
Well, you were kind enough, Kevin, to give Corey one of your great candle holders from the shop. And the Seals Grove football game had barely started on Friday night. And I get a text from Corey. And he sent me a pic from in his kitchen. He's got the candle holder and the candle fired up right there in the kitchen. And he said, yeah, wife loves it. Already putting it to good use. Make sure you get this photo to Kevin. So hopefully you got the... Well, I had sent it to Claire there when you were at the hotel there Friday night. So, but yeah.
Yeah, she sent you a thank you. And what's the first thing my wife does? They have a beautiful kitchen. She's looking at the kitchen. She's not looking at the candle holder. Woman. We're looking at the candles.
Oh, there's some stainless steel appliances back there in the background. Yeah, boys. Nice.
No, she loved the granite is what she loved.
Yeah.
She loved the granite.
I love the candle they put in that. It looked really nice.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Really nice.
Yep, we got ours in the kitchen as well going, so, yep.
Awesome.
I hopefully, Kev, you're going to be home and settled in for a great weekend of football. I can't wait for, you know, Penn State and Alabama back-to-back games on Saturday. Going to be a nice double, you know, triple. It's going to be a great triple header of NFL football. I'll be watching on Sunday as well. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. So, yeah, last week I was 6-0. Both of you were 5-1. So after 9 weeks, I'm sitting at 39-11. Steve, you are 33-17. And Kevin, now, way up above 500, you are 28-22.
There you go.
So you're getting there. I told you.
And get the positive, once again, which you said before, take the positive out of things.
That's right.
I can't really do a whole lot this weekend, except watch a boatload of football. Oh, honey, that hurts. I would never do that. But I really can't do much, so all I can do is watch football.
We'll throw
a couple of Hallmark movies in there to keep things. Me and my wife catch up.
Yeah, they're all Christmas movies now. They flipped a Christmas movie format last Friday.
Yes.
Yeah.
One after another.
That's right. So
after
if you want the Golden
another.
Girls, you're going to have to wait till after first of the year.
Probably just watch Hallmark movies.
So we got three college and three pro to tackle here. We'll first crank up our Saturday menu. You've got West Virginia at Texas. And that's a 3:30 game. I believe that's on Fox on Saturday. And I will take West Virginia. Liking the quarterback play by, what's his name,
Will Greer,
yes.
Yep.
So I got West Virginia.
Evo.
Go ahead. No, I get to go next? Okay. Sam Ellinger is not completely healthy. The Texas quarterback's got a shoulder problem. But I think he does enough. I'm going to pick Texas to win.
I went back and forth on this. I love how Texas took care of Oklahoma. But I couldn't get away from how good West Virginia is this year. So I took West Virginia.
All right, Georgia coming off.
I am the lone wolf.
You are. lone longhorn there.
Well, could knock us out.
Yeah.
It's going to be a close game. There's no question.
So Georgia's coming off the win over Florida. They doubled up over Florida at Jacksonville. So next up, Georgia travels to Kentucky. This will be one of Kentucky's biggest games in quite some time. That'll be your CBS game on Saturday at 3:30.
How about forever?
Forever. Okay. Yes.
They've never had a game like this, even when the short period of time Bear Bryant was there.
Maybe people may not know that, yeah.
Well, you know Bear Bryant coached at Kentucky?
Prior to Alabama.
Yeah, and also he coached at Maryland.
Wow.
And
wow.
Texas A&M.
Holy crap.
That's right. I did know Texas A&M. Yeah, that was his last stop before Alabama, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yep.
Sean, he used to go down to the drugstore across the street from the house and read all the sport magazines. So the guy finally got pissed off, and you go to buy something, you know. But he always bought something. But then he pissed my mother off, the owner there, and that he just didn't do that. So.
Either buy that magazine, a chocolate eclair, or go home, sir.
He's been studying this stuff his whole life.
He's the man.
Yeah, come
in. I got Georgia.
This is the biggest game they've had there.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Dick Girardi's down in Louisville at Churchill Downs today. So I was talking to DJ earlier today, and he said, you know, it's really interesting. The game's at 3:30. He said, I didn't think down here anything could overshadow the Breeders' Cup, but this has. I think this is just one of those deals where I think this goes down to the fourth quarter. But I think Georgia's got enough to win it, but barely.
Yeah, I took Georgia also. I think they're just playing a better team, and this is too. I mean, Kentucky had one big game this year, you know, against LSU, and they lost. So, who have they played that's that impressive that would lead you to believe they could beat a team like Georgia, which would be nobody.
Kentucky has been the underdog in every SEC game except one, Vanderbilt, and they have 5-1 in the conference.
But it's not a tough conference. Well, nobody thinks they're good, but they keep winning, so maybe they'll win this weekend.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I should change my pick.
No.
First okay. Saturday in November. We look forward to it every year in the SEC. You got the primetime showdown in Death Valley between number one Alabama and number four LSU. You can't go against that team until they drop one. So,
yeah, 100% right.
You know, and I think
you don't even have to call on me.
I think the key to this, LSU has to start fast if they want to be in this thing, but I'm taking Alabama.
Yeah, you know what? The funny thing is I don't think Alabama's defense is at the level it's been the last 2 years. But their offense, because of this kid, is remarkable.
Has he thrown an incompletion?
Yeah, he has. But
he's a great quarterback.
He is a great quarterback. But I'll say this. LSU still does not have enough offense to win the game. That's the problem. Alabama wins it.
I think Alabama wins easy. Oh. Good.
So we will move to the NFL. Our little triple shot of Sunday games. The Falcons at your first place in the NFC East, the Washington Redskins. I'm going to take Washington.
I'm taking Washington as well because there's something not quite right with the Falcons. They can't. They don't have enough to beat a good team. They can beat lousy teams. They just can't beat good teams.
Yeah, the Redskins are really good this year. You know, each week you're like, the Redskins. But they're winning games, and they're winning handily. So I like the Redskins.
So the 4:25 and 8:20 games, these are going to be great for the NFL on Sunday. Can't wait to settle in for these. You've got the Rams at the New Orleans Saints. And I think I think the Saints are going to keep the momentum going.
I'll take the you're going to take Saints. I'm going to take the Rams.
Okay.
I got the Rams, and I went back and forth, but I got the Rams.
I'll tell you what though, that was really cool watching the game last Sunday at the Coliseum. Just for some reason, you see the blue Rams uniforms, you know, the nostalgia of Green Bay. You know, you think of all those games in years gone by at the Coliseum. It just kind of had that retro feel last week watching that game. That was really cool.
Yeah, they're really good, and they got the superstars on defense, too. you know, they've got, and that's the only reason I went to the Rams is the Rams defense can change a game, where I don't really feel like New Orleans defense can change a game. I love right. Drew Brees, and Drew Brees can rise to these occasions, but I just, to pick them, that would be the only difference is, you know, they've got Donald, they've got some really good defensive players that could blow the game up, so...
So flipping back to Alabama real quick, quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, his stats. He is 107 of 152, 2,066 yards total passing. 25 touchdowns. Kevo, you're right. No interceptions. 70.4% completion percentage.
That's incredible. I don't think a lot of pro teams are looking at that guy right now. I hope the Giants are watching.
Well, he can't come out for another year, though.
Yeah, only a sophomore.
That's okay. Keep watching. Eli, one more year.
Yeah, I'm just saying that.
Keep losing, you know, baby.
It's not like Dwayne Haskins. A lot of people don't realize Haskins is a redshirt. So Haskins can come out this year. I wouldn't pick him, but.
I would wait for this kid. This kid is the real deal. The real deal. He walked in a big stage last year and excelled immediately and took the other kid's job away, who was a Heisman Trophy candidate at the time. And this kid just took his job away, and there was no question about it.
That's the thing with Saturday night. Are we going to see Tua for four full quarters? When was the last time he did that?
I think Rainbow High School in Honolulu.
Amazing.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if Alabama loses on Saturday night, I don't think it's really going to affect the college football playoff top four all that much. But obviously, if LSU loses, that's going to create a space.
Well, yeah, because I mean, LSU now had two losses.
Yeah,
I mean that just would open the door, and it would knock it, for LSU. This knocks them out completely if they lose.
Yeah. So primetime in the NFL on Sunday night, we've got the Packers at the New England Patriots. I think this is only the second time that Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady have faced off.
Wow.
Been a while. And I'm going to go with New England. I just kind of wonder what's happening in Green Bay. And if they continue to stumble here and there, it makes you wonder if Mike McCarthy is going to even have a job at the end of the season.
I agree.
I was very impressed by the fact they traded everybody away. Montgomery gone, Clinton Dix gone, and when it comes to winning this game, the Packers are gone. New England.
Yeah, I think New England's getting better each week, and you see even when they lose a running back, they put a wide receiver, a running back, and he does pretty good. So New England's getting better every week, and you guys hit the nail right on the head. The Packers are too, you know, wishy-washy. And if Rodgers doesn't play well, they can't win at all. So, and Bill Belichick has a way to mess things up for people. So, Patriots.
Okay. That's our six-pack.
There we go. All set.
Kevo, you get home and feel better.
Well, I'm going to go elevate right now. This is the longest I've been up in quite a while, so I'm feeling it a little bit.
When are they talking about you getting out of there? Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Possibly tomorrow, yeah. But it depends on how I react to them giving me they're taking me off intravenous and giving me a pill, oral. And if I can respond to that the same way, then they'll let me go home.
Wow.
So... Yeah, I mean, right now my leg's cherry red, so all I've been doing is elevating. Now that really annoys me. what are you gonna do?
I know. I just, I know it's.
I'll get
annoying.
Better. I'll get better. Hopefully tomorrow. I mean, it really looked good today. It looks great when I elevate it. The color comes right back. It's when I now. It's just when I stand up, the blood rushes down. And that just stays, and the leg turns beet red. So, whatever. The good news is all the vitals are perfect, and I responded to everything, and there's no more fever, there's no more that. So all that's been knocked out of me, so I'm good. It's just now dealing with the leg. So I'll be fine. I'll run the Boston Marathon in April.
The reason you wouldn't is you fear somebody throw a beer can at you. All right.
So. Exactly. Or you'd be burning a couch and I have to save you.
when I'm happy, I burn couches and I turn over cars. Isn't that the sign of joy for everybody?
That's how you roll.
I mean, I don't understand the curious looks I get when it's happening.
Well, if you do that in the Boston Marathon, you won't be getting many curious looks.
No. All right, off to Ann Arbor.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.